This week's Parsha is Parshas Bamidbar, and the title of the Shir tonight is The Power of Neighbors. And as the title suggests, we're going to be discussing the power and the effect a neighbor can have on you, whether it's good or bad. So the main idea of the Shir, the main question that we're going to work on is, why is living next to somebody or being in the same community with somebody so powerful? And how can it have such a strong impact on you in terms of your perfection? So that's really the title of the Shir tonight. And the Shir is really premised or sourced in mostly Rashi, but we're going to do Gemara and Mishnah, and hopefully we'll gain some ideas about the power of neighbors, and hopefully by the end of the Shir, you won't all be moving away from your evil neighbors. And so that's really the title of the Shir, and that's what we're going to be discussing tonight. So if we look at source number one, which is in this week's Parsha, it's Bamidbar Parak Gimel, Pasuk Lamed Ches. And it seems like a benign Pasuk. The Pasuk says, V'hachonim lifnei ha-mishkan kedma, lifnei o'el moed mizracha, Moshe ve'aron uvanav, shomrim mishmeras ha-mikdash, l'mishmeras b'nei Yisrael, v'azar k'rev yumas. Okay, summary. Moshe and Aaron, they dwelled on the eastern side of the Mishkan. And the reason why they dwelled there was to protect the Mishkan from people entering into the Mishkan or the Mikdash, the Mishkan, who were not ro'i to enter. Meaning non-Kohanim could not enter into the Mikdash, so you had to have Moshe and Aaron who lived literally on the eastern side in order to guard it and protect it. Okay? The Pasuk seems very basic, but Rashi, he adds an interesting idea based on a Medrash Tanchuma, and this is really the beginning of our exploration, our journey into how neighbors and why neighbors have such a powerful effect on you. So if we look at number two, Rashi on the Pasuk. So it's Bamidbar Parak Gimel Pasuk Lamaches again, and it's Rashi. And Alana is going to read, if she doesn't mind.
Moshe v'Aaron uvanav, usmuchin lahem degel machana Yehuda, v'hachonim alav yisachar uzvulun, tov l'tzadik tov l'shchino.
All right, stop. So who lived next to Moshe and Aaron? We had Yehuda, the Shevet, the tribe of Yehuda. And within the tribe of Yehuda, lived within that tribe, there are two other tribes, Yisachar and Zvulun. And Rashi says this famous line, Tov l'tzadik, tov l'shchino, that whatever's good for the tzadik also affects in a good way the shachin, the neighbor. Go on.
L'fi she'ayu shchinav shal Moshe, she'aya osik b'torah, nesu gdolim b'torah, she'ne'mar Yehuda mechukakai, u'mibnei Yisachar yud'ei vina v'gomer.
Okay, because Moshe was involved in Torah, therefore these other Shvatim, they gained greatness in Torah. So this is an explanation of the concept of Tov L'Tzadik, Tov L'Shchino. Meaning, because Moshe was a Tzadik, their Shchinim, the people who dwelled near them, which were Yehuda, Yisachar, and Zvulun, they benefited, and they became great in Torah. And how did they become great in Torah? So I brought down the Psukim that Rashi is quoting, vis-a-vis, or in terms of Yehuda, referencing Yehuda, Yisachar, and Zvulun. So we look at number three in Tehillim. The Pasuk says, Li Gilad v'li Menashe v'Ephraim Mo'oz Roshi Yehuda Mechokiki. What does that mean? Gilad is mine, Menashe is mine, Ephraim is the strength of my head, and Yehuda is my lawgiver. So what the idea of Yehuda Mechokiki is that Yehuda benefited by living next to Moshe, because the Shevet as a whole, they were the lawgivers. They're the ones who were poskim, they're the ones who made takanos and gzeros. They're really involved in that element of Torah, and they became prominent in that element, all because they live next to Moshe. And then we have Bnei Yisachar. So how are they gedolim b'Torah? So if you look at number four, it says, it's from Divrei Yomim, Aleph, Parak Yud Beis, Pasuk Lama Gimel. It says, Bnei Yisachar yodei bina la'itim, adas ma yaseh Yisrael, rashem masayim, l'chalacheim al-piyem. So Yisachar, they were famously known for their ability to calculate math. And their involvement in Torah was that they were involved in calculating when Rosh Chodesh was, when the various Mo'ados occurred. And as a result of living next to Moshe, that's why they became prominent in this area. They became prominent calculators, and there were 200 of them, and 200 of them were the heads of the Sanhedrin, and they were involved in calculating the new moon and when the Mo'ados would come. And then the last Shevet, Zvulun, if we look at number 5, in Shoftim, Perek Hei Pasuk Yudalid, it says, Mini Ephraim Sharsham Ba'amolek, Acharecha Ben Yamim Ba'amecha, Mini Machir Yardu Mechokim, Mizvulun Moshchem Ba'Shevet Sofer. Basically, it's talking about Zvulun at the end, and Zvulun, they were big scribes, they were Soferim. So Zvulun were involved in Klal Yisrael in writing Sifrei Torah, in writing Tefillin. So we have these three Shvatim who gained tremendously by living next to Moshe. You have Yehuda, who are lawmakers, they're lawgivers. You have Yisachar, who were involved in calculations and were the head of the Sanhedrin. And you also have Zvulun, who are scribes. And the Rashi is explaining that because they were next to Moshe, who was Osek B'Torah, that's why they were somehow became these things, or it affected them. And that's the basic principle of Tov L'Tzadik, Tov L'Shcheino. Good for the tzaddik is also good for the neighbor. So the first concept that we're going to take up is why. Question is, why is it that if you live next to a tzaddik who's Osek B'Torah, why is it that they benefited so tremendously from it? What concept could explain how, if I live next to, let's say, you know, a famous or a big-time Talmud Chacham, that how will I be affected by that? And why will I be a Nase Gedola B'Torah, prominent? Yeah, I'm asking. It's not a trick question. No, it's not a rhetorical question. It's a question.
Well, talk with your neighbors.
Okay, that's the classic answer. But like, let's take the situation of Moshe. He's Osek B'Torah, right? Right.
Inspiring.
Everyone in Klal Yisrael had access to Moshe. So what are they? Were they going to Moshe's tent and saying, "Can you pass me the salt?" You know, it's not. I don't think Moshe was the most social person. He didn't really. I can't imagine that he was a very social bee. So he really wasn't, and everybody had access to Moshe. Whoever wanted to learn Torah could go to the Ol Moed. So why did they have, what's the benefit of living there? Let's say, and also Rashi doesn't even mention anything about interaction. He just says, you live next to him, Tov L'Tzadik, Tov L'Shcheino. He doesn't say anything about.
See how he spends his time.
And... So what? Wait, Debbie.
Maybe they felt like they were a reflection of him. Like they felt like they would feel bad if they did something bad. It would reflect badly on him.
Okay. I don't understand why. Why would that reflect poorly on him? Like, he's failing?
Maybe they're neighbors. Maybe they just felt like they were, like, an extension of him.
Okay. But they were an extension of him. I don't know what that means. Are you an extension of my in-laws because you live next to them?
I'm...
Are you?
I'm not an extension of them. I'm just saying that maybe sometimes you're part of a community.
That's very funny, Ari.
All right. Yeah, so I don't understand what that means. What does it mean you're an extension of them?
Oh, it's not. Sometimes when you're part of a community, you feel like you reflect. You, let's say you go out from that community, you feel like you might be a reflection on that community. Like, for example, if you attend school and you go on a school trip, you are a reflection of that school.
Okay. But this is talking about neighbors, not talking about school. So,
I understand, but you're part of that community. You're part of Am Yisrael. You might feel like you're a reflection of, I guess, what you think that the nation should stand for.
Okay, but the other nation, the other Shvatim, didn't feel like they were a reflection of Moshe. I mean, they had access to Moshe. What is it? Just because you live next to them, you know, why should that make you feel like you?
Well, you see them all the time.
But Moshe really what Moshe. Okay, why do they
want
to emulate him? Like, what is that? What is that? That's what I'm trying
peer
to identify.
Pressure.
What?
Peer pressure.
Okay, peer fine. Pressure. At least that's more, like, in line with where I'm going. But, yeah, I like that.
Because
Euler Russia. Yeah. Well, I didn't get to that yet. I didn't say Euler Russia. We're just doing Tov L'Tzadik. Okay. The first idea, I think, of the Shir is, in terms of a neighbor, there's a certain competitiveness with neighbors, right? For example, your lawn, you know? So you always want your lawn to look better than your neighbor's lawn or your house. You want your house to be nicer than your neighbor's house. So if you see that your neighbor has something that's good, there's a natural jealousy there. And there's a desire to compete and outdo that the thing that they have that is good. So I think the same thing applies with a tzaddik. So you see, a tzaddik, he's on a high level. He has the good. He has a good life. And if you live next to the tzaddik, you're naturally going to compare yourself to that person, the person that you live next to. And the competitiveness between neighbors will cause you or will motivate you to work on yourself and to try to beat them in that framework.
Is that a good thing?
Oh, so is that a good thing? It depends on what you're using it for. I would say if you're trying to compete with your neighbor because they have a nicer car than you, then it's a bad thing. But if you're trying to compete with your neighbor and you're utilizing it to perfect yourself and to be greater in Torah, but I don't know if it's a good or bad thing. It's just a natural thing. It just exists. It exists. There's a natural competitiveness between neighbors because you live right next to them you somewhat identify with them, so there's a competitiveness with them. You want to beat them. So the idea is that that also takes hold in terms of this concept of Tova Tzadik Tova Shchino. That even if you don't interact with the tzaddik, the fact is that you live next to them, and you know that they're a tzaddik, you know they're on a high level, so that's going to provide a motivation for you to work on yourself, because you're going to want to beat them. You're going to want to compete with them. You compare yourself to them. You naturally compare yourself to your neighbors. So that's what I would say the idea of Tova Tzadik Tova Shchino is, that a neighbor can have a very strong effect on you because there's a competitiveness between neighbors, a natural competitiveness. And just like a neighbor can have a bad effect on you because they can cause you to spend too much money on your house or on your lawn, for example, but they can also have a good effect on you. And in the sense that you compare yourself to them, you can utilize that for the good. So over here, I would say the fact that you live next to somebody like Moshe Rabbeinu, you're naturally going to compare yourself to Moshe and try to utilize that to motivate you. Right? Okay. Does anybody have a different approach other than Debbie, which we rejected? Okay.
I agree with you that people tend to like to compare themselves with their neighbors and their friends and the people that they're with all the time. But even given that, there's a limit. In other words, people will recognize when a person, let's say with the house example, if you live next door to somebody who is an unusual millionaire and he doesn't, that's not typical of that neighborhood, whereas Moshe is not typical of the level of the people.
Right.
In general, you wouldn't hold yourself up to that guy.
You're saying because Moshe was so unbelievably different than everybody else, there is no ability for you to compare yourself to him. That emotion would be shut. What?
Yeah.
So then how would you?
I think it wouldn't be natural for people to compare themselves to Moshe.
So how would you explain this? So how would you explain this idea then? Tova Tzadik Tova Shchino. I know, but what does that mean, you're influenced by them? That's what I'm trying to identify. How or why are you influenced?
So like when you're in yeshiva and you have people around you are talking about Torah as opposed to when you're at work and people around you are talking about TV, there's a different kind of an influence.
Okay, but they were just, what does that mean that they weren't in a yeshiva, they were living, their houses were they were in camp next to Moshe.
Right, and their day-to-day interactions with the people that they were living among were more towards one side than the other side.
I think a proof for what I'm saying is the fact that it doesn't just say that they became Talmidei Chachamim, but it says Nasu Gidolim b'Torah. They became like great individuals in Torah. So you see that the position that they took positions in Klal Yisrael, in positions of Gedula in Torah. So the idea is that is something that indicates like a motivation to be like the other person, not just like not just in Chachma, but in leadership as well. Like it doesn't just say that they were involved in Torah more. It says Nasu Gedolim b'Torah, and you see from all the examples that they weren't just Talmidei Chachamim, but they also had leadership roles. So the idea that they seek the same role as Moshe Rabbeinu would seem to indicate that they weren't just motivated purely by the fact that it was just they were surrounded by Torah, but they also saw the leadership of Moshe, and that motivated them as well. But I'm not going to disagree with it. It's just a possibility. I understand what you're saying. You're saying that the fact that you're surrounded by something, it affects you. Just trying to identify why it affects you. So I'm saying it's a different idea. It's not because you're surrounded by it. Simply the fact that you live next to somebody, there's a natural competitiveness. You're tying it more to the interaction with the other individual. You're saying it's not just the living next to them, but it's
from the possibilities already that seems more to me. That makes you make more sense to me, just because I think that.
Okay. All right. Fine. So we'll agree to disagree. But I hear your approach, and I'm not gonna. But I hear your approach. I hear, and I hope everybody heard that approach. So Miriam wants to say that the idea is more an idea in interaction, and it's more an idea of being affected by what you're surrounded by, and they were surrounded by Moshe, or they were close to Moshe, they heard his Torah, more so than, I guess, the other Shvatim, and as a result, they were affected more. Okay, fine, so let's go on. So now we have the other side of the coin. If we look at number 6, in the same Perek, Pasuk Chaf Tes, which is a little Pesukim earlier, It says, Mishpichos b'nei kohas yachanu al yarech ha-mishkan teimona. Okay, so we have another pasuk that seems kind of benign, that b'nei kohas, which were a family of Levi, of Shevet Levi, they lived on the south side of the Mishkan. So why is this relevant? So let's look inside at Rashi, number 7. Rachel, can you read number 7, please?
Mishpacha b'nei kohas yachanu gomer teimona. V'smukum ha-hem de'el ruvim ha-honim teimona.
Okay. Stop. So next to Kahas, the family of Kahas lived Reuven, the Shevet of Reuven, which was on the south side. And Rashi says, "Oy la Rasha, woe to the wicked, the oy la Shcheno, and woe to the Shachin, to the neighbor." Go on. So this is why Dasan Va'aviram and the 250 individuals. Also were affected negatively and were destroyed with Korach. Go on. Okay, because they were drawn into the Machlokas, to the fight with Moshe Rabbeinu. And I just want to look inside in the Rashi by Korach just to elaborate on this point, what exactly happened over there. So if we look at number 8. This Rashi is on Korach in Bamidbar Perek Tes Zayin, and it's discussing Dasan Vavirom. I'm going to read inside. It says, so because Reuven was living on the south side, and they lived next to Kahas and his children, who also lived on the south side, so they joined with Korach in the Machlokes. Woe to the wicked and woe to the Shachin, to the neighbor. Umar ra'a Korach lachlok in Moshe. Why did Korach fight with Moshe? Niskane al nisiuso shall elitzafon ben Uziel sheminuhu Moshe nasi al bnei kahas al piyadibor. So Korach was upset because Moshe had appointed elitzafon ben Uziel as the nasi of bnei kahas, as the leader of bnei kahas. Amar Korach, Korach said, Achi arba hayu, my father was one of four, shenamar of bnei kahas. Amram ha-bechor, nutlu shnei banav gedula. So the bechor, the oldest is Amram, and he had Moshe and Aaron, and they were great. Echad melech ve'echad kohen gadol. One is the melech, and the other is the kohen gadol. Mi roi litol sashniya. So who is roi to take the next position? Lo anish, ani ben Yitzar. Is it not me? Because I'm the son of Yitzar, who is the next brother. Shehu sheni lo Amram. Vehu mana nasiyas ben achiv akatan mikulam. But Moshe, he appointed the youngest, from the youngest of the brothers, and as a result, Korach, he ended up fighting with Moshe, and he tried to destroy Moshe. So the main point in this Rashi that we're going to discuss is Oy la Rasha, Oy la Shchina. Woe to the wicked and woe to the neighbor. So what exactly is that concept over here? Because we see that Dasan and Aviram, what's strange about this Rashi is that Dasan and Aviram, they were Rishayim beforehand, right? They weren't just Rishayim now, but there are all these midrashim about how they hated Moshe, and they were involved in the mon in Bishalach, how they collected the mon on Shabbos. They were constantly being involved in fights. So we have this concept of Oy la Rasha, Oy la Shcheno. So what exactly does it mean over here? What does it mean Oy la Rasha, Oy la Shcheno? How is it that Korach, or the fact that they were next to Korach, how did that affect them, or why did that affect them? And this isn't such a deep idea, but we're just going to analyze this idea and just draw out a concept. So anybody want to try? What is the concept of Oy la Rasha, Oy la Shcheno? Why was Dasan and Aviram were Rishayim before? So in what way were they affected because they lived next to Korach? Because they were Shcheinim? How did the Shcheinah aspect affect them?
I have no idea, but like with the neighbor thing, if your neighbors didn't really keep their lawn nice, but actually just let it overgrow and just was disgusting like everyone around you,
yeah,
maybe you just also wouldn't care as much because... I don't know.
What?
It wouldn't be anything you'd have to be competitive about. Instead, you just kind of fall the other way.
Okay. You're saying that's why. But then that doesn't explain Oy la Rasha, Oy la Shcheno, because then it shouldn't. Are you referencing the growing out of the lawn to the Rasha, or how are you comparing
it? Yeah, because then you would also sort of be associated with the people around you who don't really care and are, quote, evil.
Right.
Because you sort of have nothing to emulate in a good way.
Okay. All right. Well, what happens here? Like, what happened with Dasan and Aviram? What was bothering? We said what was bothering Korach. So Rashi explains it. What was bothering him was that he wasn't appointed, and Eli Tzafon was appointed instead of him, right? So what does it have to do with Dasan and Aviron in their fight with Moshe? Was their fight with Moshe the same as Korach's fight? No. Dasan and Aviron, they don't care about the position of Nasi to be the leader of Kahas. They're in a totally different Shevet. So what exactly does the Shechinas do here? So you see, what's the idea of Shechinas? And I think my sister Debbie was mentioning this before. One idea of Shechinas is that you identify with your Shechinim, right? And that identification could cause a joining together, even if you're not exactly on the same page, it could cause a joining together of your two drives to create a unified front. So what do I mean by that? So if you live far away from somebody else, you may have two separate agendas, but you're not going to join together because you don't really identify with somebody who lives far away from you. But if you live right next to somebody and there's an identification with that person, then even if you have two separate agendas, a lot of times your agendas will come together and you'll unify. And in this situation, Oyla Rasha Oyla Shechino is the idea that because of Korach's Rishus, Dasan Vaviram, it's true they were Rishayim, but they were affected by the fact that they were Shechinim to Korach. Because the Shechinas, the neighborhood, the fact that they were neighbors, it allowed them to join together with Korach. If they weren't neighbors with Korach, they may have not joined with Korach. The fact that they were neighbors and they identified with Korach as an individual, that allowed them and that allowed their Rishas to get to a higher level, a worse level. So the idea of Oyla Rasha Oyla Shechino in this situation is that is really tied to the idea of identifying with your neighbors. Because you identify with your neighbors, they're in the same economic class as you. They typically are the same, they look similar to you. You identify with your neighbors. So because you identify, very often, two individuals with disparate agendas could join together and they can form like a group. So you see that here by Dasan Vaviram and Korach, that even though their agendas weren't exactly the same, the fact that they were Shechinim, it influenced them and it allowed them to join together and really try to take down Moshe as a result. Right? You see this in, I was thinking of an example. The example is, you see this in government. So when you have two states that neighbor one another, a lot of times they don't have the same agenda, but it's much easier for two states that border one another to join together in Congress and create a law than it is for, let's say, Ohio and New York to join together, or New Jersey and Nebraska to join together. It's because you don't identify with a person from Nebraska. There's a certain identification with a neighbor because they're similar to you in social status. And because of that identification, even if you have different agendas in particular, it allows you to join together. It can take somebody who may not have had such wickedness, like for example by Dasan Vaviram, and it can make it worse through the Shechinas, through the fact that you're neighbors. Okay? Does that make sense?
Yeah, right. It definitely does, and I agree, but I don't think that they even had such different agendas. Even though Dasan and Aviram didn't necessarily care about Korach's position,
right,
just based on their history with Moshe, and in general, it seemed like they were always very, like...
But isn't the Chiddush here is that, let's say Dasan and Aviram lived on the north side, and they didn't live on the south side. Isn't the Chiddush that Rashi is pointing out that they may not necessarily have joined together? They were both Rishayim, but the idea is that they may not have necessarily joined together. The fact that they were Shechinim, that they were neighbors,
right,
allowed
them. I agree
them.
With that,
yeah, yeah.
but I still think that...
Their agendas aren't completely different. They definitely both want to take down Moshe. I would say that's the main agenda.
Right.
But the point that Rashi is pointing out of Shechinas, the power of Shechinas, is it comes from an identification with a neighbor. And the fact that you identify oftentimes can lead you to joining up with a neighbor. And in this situation, Oyla Rasha Oyla Shechino, it's for the negative. It's for the bad. But I was thinking that you see from the first case, based on how I was defining it, and the second case, you see that there is a balance with your neighbors. On the one hand, there's a competitiveness with your neighbors, and you want to outdo your neighbors. And on the other hand, there's an identification with your neighbors. And you could join together with your neighbors much easier than you could with somebody else, somebody who doesn't live next to you. Right? It's like a family. I was thinking about it. It's like a sibling. Right, Debbie? Mm-hmm. On the one hand, you know, I want to destroy her and I want to beat her at everything. But on the other hand, you know, we can join together against our parents at times. Right? So too with neighbors. There's that balance with neighbors. You, on the one hand, you compete with the neighbor because you live next to them and there's a natural competition. And by the case of Moshe, I was saying that it helped Yehuda and Zvulun, and it motivated them. But in other times, it could cause you to join with the neighbor. And the joining in the situation of Dasan Vaviram was for the negative, because they were influenced by the rush of Korach, and that caused them to join together with Korach. All right? So now we understand at least why neighbors are so powerful, because of those two emotions, because of the competitiveness, and also because of the identification. So those two emotions that a person has towards their neighbors can affect them, I would say, philosophically and spiritually. Okay? All right, now we're going to explore just the concept of Oy L'Rasha, Oy L'Shcheino just a little bit more. There's a couple other situations where it's brought down in the Mishnayos and in the Gemaras, not that many more situations, but it's used in a little bit of a different context. So we're going to have to explain, you know, how it makes sense in a different context. So if we look at number 9, number 9 goes back to Tzaras HaBayis. And I recommend that you all listen to my shiur again on Tzaras HaBayis for a refresher. But Tzaras HaBayis, we've talked about Tzaras HaBayis and the halachos of Tzaras HaBayis. And one of the halachos is that if after a week the Tzaras is still there, one of the ways to fix the Tzaras is that you have to take out the Avanim, you have to remove the Avanim, and you have to replace the Avanim. And then they see if the Nega, the Tzaras comes back, right? That's all the background you need. If you look at the Mishnah in number 9, the Mishnah is Maseches Negaim, Perek Yud Beis Mishnah Vav, and I really recommend Maseches Negaim. It's a great Masechta. I'm doing it with Aaron right now, so it's really good. So if we look at number 9, the Mishnah is discussing this process of taking out the Avanim and replacing the Avanim. And if you look at the underlined portion, it says, Mikan Amru, Oy L'Rasha, Oy L'Shcheino. From here, from the situation of replacing the stones of the house when it has Tzaras, we learn out the concept of Oy L'Rasha, Oy L'Shcheino. And then it goes on, Shnein Choltzin, Shnein Kotzin, both of them have to remove the stones, they have to be involved in the process of replacing, Shnein Mevien, they have to cut the other stones, they have to bring them, Esa Avanim, Aval Hu Levado, only he alone, Mevi Esa Afar. He brings the dust or the dirt, Shneamar v'afar acher yikach v'toches abayis in chaveru mitapel imo b'ticha. So his friend, he doesn't help him in ticha, in terms of bringing the dirt and plastering the house. So what is this talking about? What exactly is this referring to? So if we look at the Rambam in the Parashat Mishnayos, he's just giving us like pshat on what it's talking about. So it says v'haribu yhazeh number 10 v'haribu yhazeh shibab b'amru v'chiltzu v'dachu v'heviu. In the psukim, it says in plural form, the chiltzu, that meaning two people should remove it, v'lachu, and they should take it, v'evu, and they should bring the stones. Musav al bal habayis hamenuga v'al shcheino im haya akir meshutof bein shnei batim. So what's the case? The case is that there's a shared wall between two neighbors, and you have one neighbor who's the rasha, he's the one who deserves the tzaras. The other neighbor, the neighbor who shares the wall, he has to help him with in terms of replacing the stones of the wall. So even though the Rasha, the person who spoke Lashon Hara, we're going to see what the Risha is for, the Rasha is referring to, but even though the Rasha, he himself was responsible for the Tzaras, the friend, the person who's sharing the wall with him on the other side of the wall, he has to help him fix everything. And the Gemara says, if you look back in the Ram, he says, V'hu amru kan oy l'Rasha oy l'Shcheino. Okay? So again, the case is that in replacing the stones of a house that's afflicted by Tzaras, the person who's responsible for the Tzaras, meaning the Baal Avera, the person who's over the Avera and was responsible, he alone isn't responsible for fixing it, but even the neighbor has to fix it. And we say, Oy L'Rasha, Oy L'Shcheino. And if you look at Rashi, number 11, in the Gemara in Sukkah, he talks about this Mishnah. And Ilana is going to read number 11, Rashi, if she doesn't mind. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oy L'Rasha v'Oy L'Shcheino, b'tor kohanim tanya, b'chatzu el habanim, nega b'even
shebemikzoa,
shneim chotzin, v'af al pi sheha nega lo nir'a ela b'veito shel zeh, mechamat sheha'ita eino tzara b'chilav, chaviro laka b'shvilo.
All right, stop. So what's the case? He's saying that even though the nega occurred on one side of the house, meaning you share a wall, and the nega, the affliction of Tzaras, is only being manifest on the side of the wall of the Rasha, of the person who deserved it. Why did he deserve the Tzaras? Does anybody remember from the Tzaras here? What did we say? What was the reason? It wasn't Lashon Hara by Tzaras. It was the stinginess. He didn't want to lend his kelim to his friends. So because he doesn't want to lend his kalim out, and he lies about it, he says, somebody comes over to him and says, can I borrow your salad mixer? And he says, I don't have a salad mixer. And the idea is that that type of person is afflicted with tzaraas. And we explained why. And because of him, chaveru laka bishvila, his friend is also afflicted because he's sharing the wall. And his wall, the shared wall, is being affected. And thus, even the person who's the rasha and the shachin, they're both affected by the tzaraas. Right? So we say in that situation, oy la rasha, oy la shechina. Right? So what exactly is this idea? Right? Why is it that, what's the question here? Why does the guy have to help? Right? Why does he have to help? And because you'd say that the person who's responsible for the damage should have to do it himself. Listen, somebody didn't like that concept. I'm the person, if let's say I'm the Rasha, I'm the Balavera, and I'm the one who's responsible for the tzaraas, you'd say that in fixing the problem, I should be responsible for fixing it. Why is the friend, why must he help?
You should be responsible for fixing it, and he is responsible for fixing it, but the friend might have been influenced by this guy, so he needs to know that, you know, that behavior was not right, and then by him helping out and fixing it, he's,
But he wasn't. What do you mean?
That behavior was not okay.
What do you mean he might have been influenced by this guy? What does that mean?
He was influenced by the guy that he's living next to.
But what is the guy's flaw? His flaw is that he's stingy.
I mean, in this guy in particular, if he's telling people that he doesn't want to share things, it's possible that he said that to the friend, and the friend's going to think, oh, this is what this neighborhood's like, so I have to tell somebody else that I'm not going to share.
Right. Before we answer that, let's just back it up. Let me ask you one question, Dina. One question. A person doesn't have one wall in their house, right? There's many walls in their house. So why would that wall, like philosophically, because we're doing philosophy here, why would that wall be affected more so than any other wall? In other words, let's say I'm the guy who's Tsaras Ayan, I'm stingy, and I have four walls, and one of my walls is shared with a neighbor. So afflict,
well, that's exactly
philosophically, it should, any wall should be
shared wall.
What? Why? No. But it doesn't always happen that the shared wall is affected. Sometimes a non-shared wall is affected. This is only in a situation where the shared wall was affected. But the question is, why would that wall be affected more so than any other wall?
I guess because it affected the guy next to you also.
How did it affect him? How?
Either maybe you said these things to him, and he started thinking this way.
Okay.
And might do it to someone else or back at you.
Okay. All right.
Or.
But now you're injecting all this other information into this case. I just want to know, like, why is this wall being affected? What benefit is it by this wall being affected more so than any other wall? There must be some reason or some type of benefit. Okay. Good. Good, good, good. Okay, fine. All right, good. I like that. I like it. But are you talking in terms of the Russia or the person who's the neighbor?
I think in general, just in general, when there's a specific area, when you face that area, like why do we face Mizrach? So then our mind goes towards Mizrach. Like,
right. So you're saying there's somehow a benefit. There's an additional benefit of the wall that's shared being the afflicted one. In certain situations.
Right, right.
Okay, so what is that? What is that benefit? Why is that more beneficial? So we said that
your mind naturally, subconsciously goes to that place, and it'll, like, if you're thinking of a bad person.
But it could have been. My question is, it could have been any wall. So why this wall? Why the shared wall? So we said.
You have a positive.
Yeah. Go on.
Sorry.
No, go on.
Sorry.
I was just going to say, because then if it's just within your house, it's only having an effect on you. But if it's a share wall, it has an effect on you and your neighbor.
I know, but why? It doesn't. Why is it? Why? If the whole point.
Remind your neighbor that you could really be just like a bad person.
Okay, remind the neighbor. Well, if it could be on any wall, why would it be on this wall? So I think, well, what's the point of tzaraas in general? What's the point of it? It's supposed to teach the person what his flaw is, right? It's supposed to make known to him. We actually said this in the Tzaraas share, that I think we said that it takes something that's internal and it makes it known. It makes it public, right? Because now everybody knows about it. So the idea here, I think, is that the situation where the guy is chayav in Tzaraas, or he gets Tzaraas, is the situation of Tzaraas Ayin, that he's stingy and he doesn't want to lend out his kalim. So why would it affect the shared wall? The idea is that the neighbor is part of his flaw, Why? Because the neighbor is the one who wasn't lent to, right? The person who's the stingy person, he's not going to lend to his neighbor. So his neighbor was affected by the fact that he didn't lend to him. So the idea of the tzaras occurring on the shared wall is that it teaches the person, the sinner, the Baal Aveira, about more about what his flaw is. In other words, if the tzaras occurred on any wall, so he wouldn't have insight into what the flaw is. But the fact that it's occurring on the shared wall, it acts great in a greater way as a means of telling the Rasha what his flaw is, which is that he didn't lend out to this neighbor. So the idea is that when the neighbor is involved in the chait, so the fact is that he's affected. Why is he affected? Because he's involved in trying to fix the Rasha. In other words, the tzaras itself, it being on the shared wall, so that gives greater insight into what the flaw of the Rasha was. Because once it's on the shared wall, now the Rasha knows that the flaw was is that he was tzaras ayin, that he didn't share with his neighbor. So once he knows that, it's functioning, the tzaras is functioning in a greater way to teach the Rasha as to what his flaw was, right? So the idea is that the shachin, he becomes an element of the Rasha's flaw, and now in as such, he also has to help the Rasha fix it. Meaning, the fact that it's on the shared wall is teaching... I'm not saying this idea clearly. So, does anybody understand this idea? Do you understand
it's
this idea?
It's not for the shachin at all. It's all for the Rasha.
But it sounds like a punishment for the good guy.
It's not a punishment for the good guy. The good guy is necessary in teaching the Rasha what his flaw is. That's what I want to say. The good guy is being affected... Right. The good guy is being affected negatively. He has to help now. His wall was damaged. But why is it? Why was he affected negatively? He's affected negatively because he's involved in teaching the Rasha as to what his flaw was. He's involved in helping the Rasha do tshuva. So that's why he's affected negatively. It's true, overall, it's good for the Shachin because now he's going to help the Rasha. But the idea is that his wall was affected because it teaches the Rasha where his flaw was and what his flaw was. So now the Shachin, he's also, the Shachin has to be involved in fixing the problem, and helping the Rasha do tshuva. So the idea of Oyla Rasha, Oyla Shechino, is that you can be a component of a Rasha's tshuva. And you can be affected negatively because you're a component of the Rasha's tshuva. You see that over here, by the Nega case. By the Nega case, because of the fact that you are a component of his sin, he was a sinner in the fact that he was stingy, and that he didn't lend out to his friend, now you become engulfed in a component of his sin. And as such, when he's told about his sin, you also become someone who helps fix the sin by revealing to the neighbor what his flaw was. Now, if the tzaras was on any other wall, he wouldn't know necessarily as well what his flaw was, that it was tzaras ayin. But once it involves the neighbor, now he knows what his flaw was. His flaw was is that he was stingy with regard to lending out his kalim to his friend. So when it occurs on that wall, it's because it's having a greater effect or a greater impact in terms of reminding the Rasha as to what his flaw was. So now the Shachin becomes a component of that. He becomes a component of the Hashgacha to help the Rasha gain perfection and gain on a greater level. So that's what we mean by Oyla Rasha, Oyla Shechina. That sometimes you can be affected by a Rasha because you're necessary in terms of helping the Rasha. You're a component in helping the Rasha do tshuva, but you could be affected negatively as such. The wall was damaged as a result.
So it's kind of like too bad on the neighbor.
What? Oyla Rasha, Oyla Shechino is that even though we're going to get the general idea, but it seems like the general idea is that had you not lived next to this person, you wouldn't have been affected negatively. The fact that you're living next to a Rasha, it affects you negatively. Why does it affect you negatively? Because you become a component of this tshuva. You have to now help him. Especially in this case by Taras, at times you become a component of his tshuva, and as such you're affected negatively. By the Taras, for example, your wall was almost damaged.
So you're saying that it's not that they were at all affected negatively by what he did even.
Right.
It's just...
They're components of his chait. They are. Because he's trying to prevent the shachin from... He doesn't want to lend out his kelim to the shachin. So the shachin's a component of his chait. So now in fixing the chait, the shachin also has to be a component. Right?
So I'm saying he's negatively affected by the tshuva part of it, not by what the Rasha actually did.
Right.
Okay,
right.
That's interesting.
Okay? Does everybody accept that? Is that idea clear? Mom? Yeah? Mom, do you understand the idea?
Yeah, are you talking to me now?
Yes.
Yes, I do.
Okay, I just want to make sure. Okay, fine. All right. There's, so that's an idea, another idea in Oyla Rasha Al Yishchino. It's a little bit more sophisticated idea of Oyla Rasha Al Yishchino in the sense that you can be affected by a Rasha because you might be a necessary component in his tshuva. Because if you're a component of the Rasha's chait, then you also have to be a component in his tshuva. And you see by the Nagoim case, by the Taras, that that's how it works. Okay? Now we're going to go on to this very interesting story in Maseches Sukkah, and we're going to establish another concept of Oyla Rasha, Oyla Shcheino. Okay, it should be an interesting story, so hopefully it'll keep everybody up. So if you look at number 12, it says, Tana Rabbana. The Gemara says, Maisa b'Miriam bas Bilga, Shehimira Dasa. There is this woman, Miriam, the daughter of Bilga, who was an apostate. She gave up on the religion. The Halcha v'Nises l'Saradyot Echad in Malchei Yavanim. She married a Greek officer. K'shenichnesu Yavanim l'Heichal, when they went into the Heichal, she was stamping down on the altar, on the Mizbeach, the Umrah, and she said, Locus, locus, wolf, wolf, she's referring to the Mizbeach, she's calling it a wolf. How long are you going to keep swallowing up the money of Klal Yisrael and not do anything about it when they need you? So she's saying something derogatory about the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach took tamidim, lambs, and she's calling it a wolf. It's just eating up the money of Klal Yisrael. It's not helping them. U'kshishamu chacham bedavar, when the chacham heard that she did this, kavu es tabata v'sasmu es chalona. So they knast, they taxed, or not knast, but they fined the whole mishmar, the whole group of Bilga, which we're going to explain, and they did two things. Kavu es tabata v'sasmu es chalona. So what is this referring to? Just background information again. There were various families and groups of Kohanim that would work in the Mikdash at different times. And one of the groups was Bilga. And this woman, Miriam Bas Bilga, she was from one of the families of that group of Bilga. And as a result, the Mishmar, the Kohanim, they were affected. They were knast. How? So there were these rings. There were various rings on the floors of the Mishkan or the Mikdash. And why did they have these rings? They would put the animals' necks in the rings and they would shecht the animals. So the rings, they had an opening to put the animal underneath and then they would shecht it. They would hold the animal down and shecht it. So her ring, because she did this, her ring was not able to be used. They took it and they moved it and they planted it in the ground and it was unable to be used as a result of this Miriam Bas Bilga. V'sasmu es chalona. And they all had their 24 windows, for each one window for each mishmar, and her window was closed. And the windows were used to store the knives, the shechting knives. So the windows of this mishmar was closed. Okay? V'yesh omrim mishmarto sho'elava. And some say that the reason why they were knast is because the whole mishmar, the whole group of Kohanim, they were lazy, and they didn't come on time. And because they didn't come on time, they were knast. This was the fine. V'nichnas yeshevav achiv imo v'shimesh tachtav. And the brother, the other mishmar, would come in and they took over. Because the whole mishmar was late, that's why they were knast. So we have two stories. We have the story of Miriam Bas Bilga. So one possibility as to why the whole mishmar was knast was because of her. And the other possibility was because of the mishmar itself. The mishmar itself, they were lazy in terms of their avoda, and they didn't come to their avoda on time. And as a result, the chacham would knast them. So there's two possible reasons. What's the question on this? The question is, why is it that because of one woman, why should the whole mishmar be knast, right? In other words, just because Miriam Bas Bilga, this woman who is a daughter of one of the Kohanim in the mishmar, just because she was an apostate and she did something terrible, why should the whole mishmar be knast? So the Gemara asked that question. It says, Bishlama l'manda amar mishmarto sho'alavo, hainu dekansina l'kula mishmar. So it makes sense, according to the side that holds, that the whole mishmar was late. That's why the whole mishmar was knast and they were fined. Elo the manda amar Miriam Bas Bilga Shehemira Dasa, according to the side that holds that Miriam Bas Bilga was responsible for this fine that affected the whole entire Mishmar, the whole group of Kohanim, Mishum Brate Kansinale Ledide. So do we say that because of a daughter, the father should be punished? Why should the father be punished because of the daughter's actions? The father meaning the father who is the Kohen in the Mishmar. So the Gemara says, Amar Baye in Kida Amri Inchi, that is possible. Like they say, Shuta Dianuka Bishuka Odavua Odime. So when a child speaks in the Shuk, it's a reflection of the parents. So because she's saying something about the Avoda, she's talking about the Mizbeach, and she's saying the Mizbeach is not standing with Klal Yisrael in their time of need. So she must have heard something from her parents, because the parents have a strong effect on you. And therefore, that's why the parents were knas, the father was knas because of the daughter. Because the daughter is a reflection of the parents. Okay, fine. But the Gemara goes on and says, Umishum avu avime kansinon lakula mishmara. So because the father and the mother were bad parents, did we say that the whole mishmar, the whole group, and the whole group of Kohanim should be affected? Amar baye, oyla rasha, oyla shcheno. Tovot tzadik, tovot shcheno. So he says, yes, we say that sometimes the whole group's affected because of oyla rasha, oyla shcheno. That woe to the wicked, to the evil, woe to the shachin, to the neighbor. So what's the basic outline of this Gemara? So we have this one situation where Miriam Bas Bilga, who was this terrible woman, because of her, the whole Mishmar called Bilga, which is a Mishmar, a group of Kohanim that would work in the Mikdash, because of her, they were all fined. And the question is, how were they all fined? What responsibility did they have to her? So the answer is, Oyla Rasha, Oyla Shechena. No, we just say, woe to the wicked, woe to the Shach, the Shechenim, the neighbors. Okay, it's kind of a strange idea. What's the idea? Why should they be knast? How does it make sense that they should be knast because of her action? What does this mean? What does Oyla Rasha, Oyla Shechena mean in this context? Anybody want to try? Why should, again, the question is, why should a whole Mishmar of Kohanim be knast because of one person's actions, Miriam Bas Bilga? What is this concept? What is the concept of Oyla Rasha, Oyla Shechena being utilized for in this situation or explaining? Okay.
She would go out into the shul, okay, and speak it. Then, if Klai Shal were in times of need and they felt like they couldn't support themselves or whatever, then they would hear what she's saying and hear her suggestion and agree with it.
Yeah, so but this happened way before. Let's say she dies, but the whole Mishmar is still knast. The Mishmar was a group of Kohanim called Bilga, and there are some people that were in her family. But even after she dies and this story's over, the whole Mishmar is affected for the rest of their existence. So why should the whole Mishmar be affected for the rest of their existence because of the fact that one woman beforehand said something crazy, something stupid?
What she said really resonates with people, and it will stick around. The legacy, like.
Oh, okay, fine. Okay, good. So, good. Racheli's. But what are you saying then? What's the idea of Oyel Rasha Oyel Shechena?
That.
Explain that idea. I agree with you.
That it's not her existence that's making the effect. It's that what she said has an effect on people. It like resonates with them and they agree with it, and then even after she dies, like,
okay,
the idea is still.
But they, right, but they're not evil, she's evil. So the idea is, I think the idea is that Oyla Rasha Oyla Shechena
creates this like sentiment in people that doesn't go away.
Okay. Alright. I know, I agree with that 100%. But I think what's the idea of Oyla Rasha Oyla Shechena? But I agree with Rachel's point. The idea is that there's an association that's created between you and your neighbors. Right? The idea is that people say, oh, Debbie Schwartz is Rabbi Przanski's neighbor. You know, that's how you're associated. That's part of your association, like who your neighbor's with. You know, what group you roll with. You know, what group you're friends with. That's how you're identified. So a lot of times you're identified by the group that you associate with, by the group that you live with, by your community. Oh, you're from Bergenfield, you must be this type of person. Oh, you're from Teaneck, you must be this type of person. So the idea is what Racheli's saying, that really, it's not that they did anything wrong, but really Miriam Bas Bilga, she did something so horrible that it had to be that it was remembered in Klal Yisrael and that it wasn't forgotten. And the idea is that the whole Mishmar was knas, not because they did anything wrong themselves, but because they were associated with her by name. The Mishmar was called Bilga, and she was from that family, and because their association to her, therefore they were knas. Why were they knas? Because people naturally associate neighbors, and they associate family members, and they associate communities, and because there will always be an association to Miriam Bas Bilga, even after she died, through this Mishmar, therefore they were affected, and they were knas. So once again, we see an idea of a shachin, the power of a shachin. The power of a shachin is that you become identified as a member of a community, as a member of the group. So if one member of the group is a Rasha, it could have effects on the whole group. Why? Because of that association to the Rasha, therefore it must be nicker. Like in this example, it had to be nicker to Klal Yisrael that this wasn't tolerated. And even though Miriam Bas Bilga died many years before, but she would always be associated with her Shechinim, with her neighbors. And through association, they are affected negatively. So we see another possibility or another idea of Oyla Rasha, Oyla Shechina. We see that sometimes because a certain neighbor or being with a neighbor can create a certain association, so because of that, you can somehow be affected negatively. And even though the group, the Mishmar of Bilga, they're not responsible, maybe the parents are, but they're not responsible for Miriam Bas Bilga. Nevertheless, they're always associated as being connected to Miriam Bas Bilga. So as a result of that association, they have to be affected negatively. Ayla Rasha, Ayla Shechina. Right? Okay. Any questions? All right, Dina, do you accept that? No?
Yes.
Okay, good. All right. So then we have one last idea, and then we'll put everything together. One last idea I think is a simple idea of Oyla Rasha Oyla Shechino. It says, Amar, it's a Gemara in Meseches Brachos, Daf Nunches Amar Alf. And it says, Amar of Yirmiya ben Elazar, Niskalula Bavel, Niskalu Shechineha. So when Bavel is cursed, so too the neighbors are cursed. Niskalula Shomron, Nisbarchu Shechineha. But when Shomron is cursed, so the neighbors are blessed. Where do we see this realm? Niskalula Bavel, Niskalu Shechineha. So Bavel is cursed, and so too the surrounding communities. Dichsev, Visamtia, Lamorash, Lamorash, Kopud. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Kipod, Vagme Mayim. Niskala Shomron, Nisparchu Shechineha, Dichsev, Visamti Shomron, Liyasadan, Lamate Kerem. So what are these psukim referring to? So when Bavel's cursed, what happens? There's too much rain, and what happens is there are wild animals there, and there are pools of water. And as a result, Rashi explains that the wild animals end up damaging the surrounding communities. But when Shomron is cursed, so there's pools of water there as well, but there's no wild animals, and the pools of water, they affect the neighboring communities in a good way, because when you have an abundance of rain in one place, it ends up draining off into other places, and as a result of it draining off into other places, it affects the Shechinim in a good way. Okay, so what's the main idea here? Just one last idea. Sometimes you could be affected naturally by your neighbors. So the idea is that over here, in both these situations, there is a hashkacha, there is a divine intervention to curse each neighborhood. One is to curse Bavel, and the other one's curse Shomron. But you see that in one situation, the Shechinim are affected positively, but in another situation, they're affected negatively. So what's the idea of Oyla Rasha Oyla Shechino? Because Rashi uses Oyla Rasha Oyla Shechino here also by Bavel. So the idea is that sometimes there could be a natural effect from a Shachin who's a Rasha simply by the fact that we say, for example, that the Hashgacha, the divine intervention, affects negatively one area, but because it affects negatively one area, the surrounding communities can naturally be affected in a negative way, but other times it can be affected in a positive way. This idea is simply an idea in nature, that let's say there's a tsunami, for example. So a tsunami occurs, and some people are affected negatively, but it could be the neighbors are affected positively because the tsunami left or watered the area around it. But sometimes a certain area can be cursed and it can affect the Shechinim in a positive way. So there's an idea that you're affected by your neighbors through a natural process, through the natural world. Just like you can have a Rasha who's evil and who tries to burn down his house and then the smoke enters into your house and the fire and it burns down your house, so too there could be Hashgacha that's negative and it could affect you negatively. If you're not, and it could affect but it could also affect you positively. So the idea of being affected by your neighbors is by proximity to there's a physical proximity to your neighbor, and that proximity could have an effect on you secondarily through hashgacha, through divine intervention. But it's just like a neighbor who starts a fire in his property and it affects your property, so too you can have a klala in one situation and it could affect you positively, and you can have a klala in another situation and it could affect you negatively. And that's what we say, Oyla Rasha Oyla Shechino. So what is the main concept of Oyla Rasha Oyla Shechino as a result of this year? The main concept is that there are situations where you may not have deserved what you got by yourself. But because you're next to the Shachin, because you're associated to the Shachin, and you live next to the Shachin, that's why you're affected negatively. But what does that mean, right? So let's just go through just briefly like what we talked about. So one idea of Shechinus is that you're affected by the competitive nature of being of a Shachin, of a neighbor. So because there's a competition between the neighbor, we said Tova Tzadik Tov L'Shechino, that could affect you positively. And then we saw by the idea of Dasan V'Avirom, that Shechinus, that being a neighbor, can also affect you negatively. Why? Because you see there that it could cause you to join up with your neighbor, because there's an identification with your neighbor. So we saw two examples, based on Rashi, as to how a Shechin can have such strong power on you, because the emotions of competitiveness and identification have a strong effect on your perfection. Right? Then we saw by the Nagan case, that sometimes you can be a component of the Rosh's tshuva. So because you're a component of the Rosh's tshuva, you could be thereby affected negatively by the Tzara's case. So we say, Oyla Rasha, Oyla Shechino, even though if you had not lived next to this Rasha, you may not have been affected, but because you live next to this Rasha, now you become a component of his tshuva, of his chet, and thereby his tshuva. And you could also be affected negatively. And then we have the case of Bilga, Miriam Bas Bilga. So there's an idea in neighbors that you become associated with your neighbor. And there's an idea of guilty by association. And it's not that you deserve it because of your bad deeds, but it's simply because there's always going to be an association of you to that neighbor, then you must be affected negatively. And by the case of Miriam Bas Bilga, the Chachamim, they had to create a knas on the whole Mishmar. Why? Because they would always be associated with that Rasha, Miriam Bas Bilga. So there's an idea of Oy LaRasha, Oy LaShcheino. Again, it's not that they deserved it, but it's for a secondary reason that they're affected, because of association to the Rasha, and because others associate them to that Shachin, that Shachin Ra. And then we have the last idea where there's just a natural effect, where we say that just like if you're living next to somebody, they could affect you negatively, so too there's an idea that over here by the Hashgacha, it could be that some situations, because you surround an area and the Hashgacha could be bad for one and it could affect you positively, so too in another situation, it could affect you positively and not negatively. So there's an idea that being the proximity to a neighbor, just the physical proximity, there could be a natural effect on your property and on your land as a result of various ideas. But here in the Gemara and Brachos, it's talking about the Hashgacha in general. That sometimes the Hashgacha can affect one person for a certain purpose, to be neskal of that person, but it could have various natural effects on the surrounding areas. Not because of anything they deserved. It's not like the Shachin by, let's say, Bavel, deserved to be punished. It's just a natural effect of that klala, the klala to Bavel. And same thing by Shomron. It's not that the Shechinim deserve to be rewarded, it's just your natural effect of Shomron being punished. There's a natural effect that Shechinim, because of their proximity, are affected. Okay, so that's the Shir tonight. And hopefully the ideas made sense and were clear. Anybody have any questions on the Shir? Or any other possibilities that they want to raise? Yes, Ilana has a possibility.
The first thing about with Moshe, about it being out of competitiveness.
Yeah.
Can't you also say, still the same, I guess kind of the same idea, but not necessarily that it's, that they feel that competitive, that they need to do better, but that it's kind of humbling to see someone like that, and therefore you want to be better.
Yeah, but that's the point, you're saying the idea of Shechina, so we're tying it back to the idea of Shechina, so you're saying it's because you see the person all the time, right?
Isn't that also what, the same thing with competitiveness?
Yeah, it is. But you're saying because, what's the idea? You're saying because they see it, they'll be motivated by it. You're saying because...
We said that, like, by seeing it, therefore, they're going to feel the sense of competitive. They're going to see the way Moshe is and feel competitive and therefore want to match it.
Yeah.
But can you also say, not necessarily that they feel competitiveness, but more...
They'll be inspired by it.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
I don't know, just something about the competitive... It just doesn't seem as...
Alana doesn't like the competitiveness.
It just doesn't seem, like, genuine then what they're doing. To be trying,
it's not that. That's what I answered. Like, it's not like it's not. It's an idea that it's a natural emotion that a person feels. You do feel it. Listen, like, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to try to destroy that emotion. I mean, you feel natural competitiveness. Just like I want my lawn to be nicer than my friend's lawn. That just exists. So here, you're using it for a good. You're using it to perfect yourself. You're saying like you just have a problem with the fact that like you think competitiveness by its nature is bad. You're saying it's, once again, Miriam and I think Ilana, they're going along the same lines, back to the first idea of Tova Tzadik, Tov L'Shcheino. They're saying it's an idea, in the fact that when you see Talmud Chacham, you're going to be motivated and inspired by the Talmud Chacham. So if you're a Shachin of the Talmud Chacham, so you're going to see them more often, and you're going to be affected by them more often. Right, and because you're affected by them, you're going to be inspired by them, and it'll cause you to do good. Okay, I don't have a problem with that. It's possible. I just have a different approach, but I understand that. All right, so I'm on record. I'm not on record on the tape. I'm not discounting Miriam's approach or Alana's approach, and I think it's a valid approach. I just saw it differently, but you know, different people have different approaches and different insights, so. All right, anybody else have a question? No? Okay. All right.